You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Boy, we have fun at the rec room. And I hope y'all do too. I live for Thursday night. I love the rec room. Oh, well, I'm tired. Go ahead. I asked her to play me a big organ beginning, and then I forgot to let her do it. So, this is Miss Jolene McWilliams back here on the back keyboard. This was a spur of the moment, but any of them works for me, Jolene. Any of them. Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes, where the morning is bright and the Lamb is the light. And the night is as fair as the day. Oh, yes. And there will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh, Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Play it, girls. Where the bear, that old bear will be gentle, and the wolf, he will be tame, and the lion, he's gonna lay down by the lamb. If you don't believe it, just watch. There the beast from the wild, he will be led by a child. I will be changed from this old beast that I am. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray. There will be no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh yeah, there will be peace in the valley for me. So much.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter 17. If you don't have a Bible and would like to turn there with us, we'll bring you one if you'll lift your hand. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. We are in the midst of a very different culture than what we were 20 years ago. Then for some of us that are older and dirt, we really changed things, and 50 years. Culture has now decided things that we used to say was wrong and now has become right, and things that used to be right have now become wrong. And we've got this political correct type of things. You can't say this, you can't say that. Don't be negative. Don't say that. You're not supposed to say it. And Paul said over in the book of Romans, he said that all the things that God had written had been written for our learning. Now, he didn't say written for our practice, but he said our learning. You can go back. The reason you need to read all the Bible is because God hadn't changed. And man hadn't either. Now, a lot of things have changed. Noah didn't have the internet. David never texted anybody. I'm pretty sure that Mark and Matthew didn't Google to find answers to questions. A lot of things have changed. About as wild as they could get, some of them riding them. Some of their camels, I think, had mud flaps on them, and then they just let their sideburns blow in the breeze when they was riding them donkeys. But other than that, we've seen a tremendous change. But God hadn't changed. He said that He changeth not. And so Paul said, you probably ought to go back over and read some of that stuff, because you might learn something. And in a book like 2 Chronicles, if there ever was Chronicles, both 1 and 2 Chronicles got to be the most boring books in the Bible. It gives lists of names. Sometimes there's chapters like reading a phone book. And nobody ever just sits down and said, I think I'll memorize 3 pages out of a phone book. There's a lot of things in there. But every now and then, He will throw something in there that is just as up-to-date as the internet. The thing, as you look at it, you say, this could happen now and here and probably is happening. And one of these is about during that time, Chronicles, and Judah had split from Israel. 10 of the tribes had stayed with Israel, and Judah had 2 tribes, and they didn't get along at times, and sometime it did, and they both had a king, and they were in competition, and the worst king that Israel ever had was a guy by the name of Ahab. Now, you might not know who Ahab is, but you will remember his wife. I don't care if you've never sat inside a church before, you've heard her name is Jezebel. Yeah, you remember you picked her up one night over here. Jezebel was one tough lady. In fact, she was meaner than Ahab. But the king of Judah was named Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was a good guy. He had a lot of good points. In fact, I want you to look at chapter 17 of 2 Chronicles, and we're going to meet him, and I just want to read 2 or 3 verses. It said, and Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel, and he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah, and the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. So now we got a good king. And on the other side of that coin is we've got Ahab. And notice this in chapter 18. It said, and Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. This was one of his first problems. His son had married Ahab's daughter. And now then, they get together. Anybody ever heard anything about you need to change people, places, and things? This is going to be Jehoshaphat's downfall. And he's a good king. He's a good guy. But he said he joined affinity with Ahab, and after certain years he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead?" And he answered him and said, "I am as thou art, and my people is thy people, and we be with thee in the war." Boy, we're just like you are. We're joined at the hip. Of all the things, and I can tell you now, of all the things that you don't want to do is go back with the same people you was running with and you got in trouble. And that's throughout the Bible. I mean, it is something God talked about. He always wanted his people separate. We got folks talking about unity, and God said separate. And so, here's old Jehoshaphat. "Yeah, I'm going to go along with you. I'm going to be the good old boy." And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, because he's wanting him to go to war with him. Now, when you go to war, people can get hurt, can't they? War is really real. It's not play. And he said, "Well, you go to war with me. We're going to go over there and we're going to whip these people." And Jehoshaphat said this in verse 4. "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." He said, "Reckon we might ought to pray about this. Maybe we ought to talk to God about this." Therefore, the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men. Now, I notice this. Bad people got prophets like good people. In fact, bad people got more prophets than good people. Y'all, religion is always big. It doesn't make any difference. Good or bad, it's going to be there. And so he had 400 prophets and said unto them, "Shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" That means not go. And they said, "Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand." And notice Jehoshaphat's question. He said, "Reckon we got a God, a real prophet around here." He said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him?" It was so obvious that these guys were such yes men. And he said, "You think we ought to go battle?" And they said, "Yes, sir, you just go, man. You can go. You can win it." Because, see, a false prophet is never negative. Don't be negative. Always got to be positive. "Yes, sir, you need to go." And it is so phony that Jehoshaphat, as nice get-along guy as he is, said, "Reckon we could find a prophet from God around here somewhere? Let's check with him. We might as well check with God." And the king of Israel, verse 7, notice it. King of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There's yet one man," and that's usually about the total. "We got one. There's one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah, the son of Imlam." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." He said, "We got one guy." And everybody knew he was a prophet of God. See, you can't hide that. You're God's person. You're not going to hide that. Most of us like to. We've all been in crowds where we hope nobody recognized us as Christian. You know. Somebody said this, that the four great truths, four great religious truths, was that the Muslim people do not recognize the nation of Israel as God's chosen people. And that the Protestants do not recognize the Pope as the head of all religion. And that the Jews do not recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah of Israel. and Baptists don't recognize one another at Hooters. Time we don't want to be seen. Hey. But they know. I'm going to tell you, you can't live for God and people be surprised about it. They just going to go because you're not going to go the places they go. You're not going to do some of those things. I was talking to a guy here a while back, and he said, man, the people that do business with him, none of them knew he was a Christian. Well, then something's wrong, Ed. Hey. Now, so he said, he always speaks evil of me. He's always down on me. And the king of Israel, verse 8, called one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlan, the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either on them on their throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in the void place that entered in the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied unto them. While they're gone to get Micaiah, notice what the other prophets are doing. Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, had made him horns of iron. He's going to give a PowerPoint program now. He's got him some iron. He's got him some horns of iron. And this is what he said. Thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. He said, you're going to drive them out just like this. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramath Gilead and prosper. That's one of their key words. We're going to prosper. And the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. You're going to get it. You can do it. The messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, Micaiah, don't mess it up again. Here's what they're telling the guy. Just go in there and go along. You know, just go along to get along and don't create problems again. That's basically what he's saying. Notice he said, behold, the words of the prophet declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs and speak thou good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. Let me tell you, a true prophet is limited in what he can say. He don't say what God tells him. He doesn't have the whole field to run. He said, I can only tell this guy what God's told me to tell him. I don't control this. And the true prophet of God, see, because then we're answering to our judge. And he said, that's all I can do. In verse 14, he comes to the king. And the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me, name of the Lord? Evidently, Micaiah wasn't very convincing, was he? Micaiah said, yeah, why don't you just go, Ahab? You go right ahead. You're going to win. And he knew. He said, don't do me that way. He said, I want you to tell me the truth. Now, if you believe that, I got some waterfront property I'd like to talk to you about. I don't know, all my life I've heard people say, I just want my preacher to tell me the truth, and the minute that he steps on their social drinking, they're gone. The minute he steps on their lodge belonging, they're gone. The minute that he says something about them spending all their time over on them slot machines, they're gone. The first time, and say, don't get on my deal. Give it to the rest of them. Young preacher told me one time, he went to preach. And said, this old preacher told him, he said, now son, said, I want you to don't get on cigarettes. He said, the chairman of my board of deacons smoked some. And he said, I sure don't want to upset him. He said, okay. And he said, oh, by the way, he said, don't get on social drinking. Said, my organist, she has a cocktail every evening. He said, okay. He said, and by the way, don't say anything about having affairs, because I think my piano player and song leader are kind of messing around. And he gives him two or three more things. And finally the young man said, "Sir, what can I talk about?" And he said, "Why don't you jump on the Jews? I don't think I got any of them here." Got to be careful. He can't just get up and say, "All right, here's what God said." Because they're going to say, "God didn't either at you, and you're picking on me, and you ought not be saying this, and this is not in your business, and my life is mine, and don't tell me about my kid that's on drugs. You don't have a right to do that. It's my kid that's going to hell. Don't bother me with that. It's my life. I'll run it if I want to." He said, "Tell me the truth." "How many times?" He said, "How many times shall I do this? Say nothing but the truth to me." Now, we're going to see how much he really meant that in a minute. He said, then he said, and here's what Micaiah said to him, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace." Wonder what happened to the master. You see who he's talking about? He said, "I saw all these sheep out there. They had no master. Their king's gone." And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil?" I told you he's going to talk like that. I told you he's that kind of preacher. I told you he's the one that's going to do that. He's going to say that the only way you can get to heaven is by Jesus Christ, and he's not taking into consideration all the money I give. He's not taking into consideration the fact that I quit drinking. Yeah, so some people think when they quit sinning, they ought to get some kind of plaque. How many of you ever been stopped by a policeman, pulled you over, and said, "The reason I pulled you over is because you was driving so good"? No. They pull us over for a little different reason, don't they? I've never been given a plaque for driving, and I don't know why the way I drive. You'd think if anybody in town gets one, I ought to get one. Right? But he said, he does that to me. "Did I not tell thee?" Again, he said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord." He said, listen to what God's saying. "I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne and all the host of heaven saying, standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one spake saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I'll entice him. And he said, how? Wherewith? He said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of thy prophets," all 450 of them. "They've lied to you, and the Lord has spoken evil against thee. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, came out and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into the inner chamber to hide thyself. Then the king of Israel said, take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison." See how much he wanted the truth? He told the truth, and he said, put him in prison. He didn't say, man, let him go. Thank God you finally told me, and now I know I can save my life. I don't have to go. Think about this. He can change this deal. Ahab doesn't have to go. He'd say, well, man, now that you told me, I'm not going. Only an idiot would go up there if you know he's going to get killed. I'm not going to do it. But no. He said, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with the water of affliction until I return in peace. And notice what Micaiah said. If thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken by me. And he said, hearken. That means listen. Listen, you people. Listen, all you people. Now, so here goes the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. I like this, the king of Israel, Ahab, notice this in verse 29. He said, I'll disguise myself. Why? Why are you going to do that? If you don't believe I'd profit anyway, why are you going to disguise yourself? But he did, notice. But he told you all the jokes of that. Well, this is a real friend. He said, but you put on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, went up to battle, but the king of Judah's got his robes on, and if they're looking for the king, guess what? Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captain of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, and they said, it's the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight, and Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. And it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. Listen to this. And a certain man drew a bow at venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of his harness. Now, a certain man, don't even know his name. And he drew a bow at venture. He wasn't even aiming. And that arrow landed right between his shoulder blades. An aimless, nameless man of God. See, for God to do things, he can use any and everybody. It doesn't have to be somebody. Pardon. And he said to his chariot men, turn thine hand that thou mayest cast me out of the host, for I'm wounded. And the battle increased that day. Howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the even, and about the time of the sun going down, he died. He died. Choices. Oh, we like to listen to those that tell us we're doing good. We like the positive side. Oh, man, you're doing good. You're really doing good. He could have changed this. He could have listened to God. And he knew, he said, I told you he's going to tell bad things about me. He'd had this experience before and they'd been the truth. You can change this. You don't have to keep just running headlong down the wrong side of the highway. You don't have to keep playing with that which will explode on you. You don't have to play Russian roulette with your life. Things can change. Satan is always positive. You're going to be okay. Don't worry about it today. Yes, I know there's hell out there. I'm not going to lie to you about that. But you don't have to worry about it today. You got time. You got plenty of time. Goodness, folks lived 80 and 90 years now, and you got plenty of time. Satan didn't change with Jehoshaphat, with what he did with Adam and Eve. He said, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. You go ahead and eat. God lied to you about that. And the truth is always laughed at. But deep down inside, we know, just like Ahab knew, he knew what he was going to get. He knew that he was running from God. But sometimes we just bow our neck and say, I don't care what God wants. I'm going to do this anyhow. My. Is that the way you really want it? And we would say no. Because every man, God gave the meanest king Israel ever had an opportunity to not die that day. Don't go to battle. Stay out of it. Leave it alone. Listen to God's prophet. You don't have to. It's his plans, his army, his deal, and I'm going to do it. Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. I want you to bow your heads a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. Do you feel maybe what Ahab felt? Are you thinking how many times God has spoken to you? Are you thinking about the times that you've turned a deaf ear to what God wanted you to do? You know what's so great now about it? That you can undo every bit of it this very night. This very night, you can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never turned away one person that sincerely sought Him. In fact, He said, "Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart." We don't have to keep going on in that danger and in that peril. And you say, "Leland, would you pray for me? I know I need to be saved. I know that. Would you just pray for me that I'd have the courage and the strength to do it? Would you just slip up your hand before we pray? I know I need to be saved. Would you do it? Is there one? Real quickly. I know I need to be saved." You're here tonight, and God has talked to you. You may even be God's child. But you just want to keep bowing your neck. Want to try a little longer to not give in. There's peace and joy and happiness waiting for you, but you think somebody's mad at you. And like Ahab said about Micaiah, "I told you he'd talk bad about me." No, he's just telling you the truth. He's wanting to help you. You say, "Leland, pray for me. I'm a long way from the Lord. I need to get some things straight." Would you just slip up your hand, put it back down again real quick. God bless you. I see your hand, your hand, yours. I see them all over the railing. Anyone else, real quickly, slip it back. Yes, ma'am. When I recognize you, slip it back down. Now then, here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, Brother Charles is going to sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. I want you to come on the very first verse, and whatever God wants you to do. Maybe you need to trust Christ tonight as your Savior. Maybe you just need to ask Him to take you back. Maybe you're just coming home. Whatever the case is, I want you in that very first verse. Don't let Satan lie to you anymore. Say, "I want to get it right with Jesus this very night." I want you to stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed. As you stand, our Heavenly Father, this is yours. Do with your people what you want to do. Help us to be surrendered to you. Take us, because that's where we'll win. Bless your people. Give them the courage, the strength to step out tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Head still back.
His name is wonderful, Jesus.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.